In the living room, Duke was still lying with an arm over his face. Paul picked up the empty pizza box and the thin sheets of waxy paper and carried them out to the garbage can. The air was cool, the world brand new. He was thirsty, like a desert, like a 10-mile run, and he carried a half gallon of milk back with him to the living room, drinking straight from the jug and then passing it to Duke. He sat down and played again, more quietly. The guitar notes fell through the air, slowly, gracefully, like winged things.
"You got any more of that stuff?" he asked.
"Yeah, but this'll cost."
Paul nodded, kept on playing, while Duke got up and went to make a phone call. He had drawn his sister once when he was just a kid, maybe in kindergarten. His mother had told him all about her, so he'd drawn her into the picture he made called My Family. His father, outlined in brown, his mother with dark yellow hair, and himself holding hands with a mirror figure. Drawn at school, tied up with a ribbon, he'd presented this gift to his parents over breakfast, and had felt some darkness open up inside him when he saw his father's face. Emotions that at 5 Paul couldn't explain or describe, but that he knew already had to do with sorrow. His mother, too, when she'd taken the picture from his father, was touched with sadness, but she slipped a mask over it, the same bright mask she wore with clients now. He remembered how her hand had lingered on his cheek. She still did that sometimes, looking at him hard as if he might disappear.
"Oh, it's beautiful," she'd said that day. "It's a beautiful picture, Paul."
Later, when he was older, maybe 9 or 10, she had taken him to the quiet cemetery in the country where his sister was buried. It was a cool spring day, and his mother had planted morning glory seeds along the cast iron border. Paul stood reading the name, Phoebe Grace Henry, and his own birth date, feeling an uneasiness, a weight he could not explain.
"Why did she die?" he asked
when his mother finally joined him, slipping off her gardening gloves.
"No one knows," she said,
and then, seeing his expression, she put her arm around him.
"It wasn't your fault," she said fiercely. "It was nothing to do with you."
But he hadn't really believed her, and he didn't now. If his father secluded himself in his dark room every evening, and his mother worked long past dinner most days and, on their vacation, shed her clothes and slipped into the cottages of strange men, whose fault could it be? Not his sister's, who had died at birth and left this silence. It all made a knot in his stomach, which started each morning the size of a penny and grew throughout the day and made him sick to his stomach. He was alive, after all. He was here, so surely it was his job to protect them. Duke appeared in the doorway, and he stopped playing.
"He's coming over, Joe is," he said, "if you have the cash."
"Yeah,"
Paul said.
"Follow me."
They went out the back door and down the wet concrete steps and up the side stairs to the big open room above the garage. This room had tall windows on every wall, and during the day it was filled with light from every direction.